God be the glory for the great things that he has done. We're going to continue our studies in Genesis, and in particular, Genesis chapter 24, as we began it last week and we'll conclude it this week. Today I'm going to teach a lesson entitled, How to Tell Time. How to Tell Time. It's evangelism time. It's always evangelism time because the world is in a terrible shape. Amen. Men would rather do wrong than do right because they do not know the Creator. Men would rather do wrong than do right because they don't know their function, because they don't know the Creator. Men would rather do wrong than to do right simply because they are evil and desperately wicked, and without the saving grace of Jesus Christ, they cannot continue to exist throughout eternity with the Creator. So evangelism time is a very great time. It's a time for those of you who have attended and completed and are now on the mission field to bring others to be equipped to do evangelism. Last week we met a very interesting young lady named Rebecca, and the week before that we met the promised son in the person of Isaac. We met Isaac watching him be truly a man of faith along with his father who worshiped God, who believed that you just trust God and everything is going to work out all right. And we saw last week a young lady named Rebecca and was introduced to the head servant of Abraham's family on a mission for his master. And it turned out pretty good as he was able to find the woman that he was sent to look for, being led by God himself. And we call it God's choice for Isaac. Today, we're going to see Isaac and Rebecca. Isaac and Rebecca, chapter 24, verses 50 through 54, and 59 through 67 is our printed text. But lest I forget, there is a couple of verses in between there, Steve, that needs to be examined. And as a matter of fact, it's very interesting. As you go through Sunday school lessons, understand that these lessons are written by a staff at Union Gospel Press. They're written by laymen and some ministers and preachers. I mean, long before, you know, a year or so in advance, these lessons are already prepared. And it's amazing how timely they are for the times that we live in, that, you know, we don't have to say, is this lesson relevant today? It is certainly relevant because as last week we saw how that God, when God makes a choice, he makes good choices. He makes good decisions. And since he's a great decision maker and we should follow his example, that means that we need to make decisions that are great. Because decisions determine destiny. Decision. When we left Rebecca last week with the servant at the well, she had just found out that she may be the one in the conversation that followed. And it's simply because she made a decision, Elijah, that will change her destiny. She made a decision to be hospitable to a man and his animals. She made a decision to be who God had called her to be, and it's going to affect her eternally. But also, we saw that this young lady had the right attitude, and that attitude, because of that attitude, it's going to give her access to more than she's ever had in her life. Y'all don't hear me. See, because you can walk around and with these funky attitudes, but people are not going to let you into their space when your attitude is jacked up. I don't care how good you are, I don't care how fine you are, I don't care how intelligent you are, you got a jacked up attitude, people don't want to be around you. And matter of fact, and in today's society, you don't even have to be have a bad attitude, people can perceive you. You know, I'm sick of people's perceptions too, you know. But because of that, you know, you got to be checked, you know, because if you want to be in the right circles, you got to check your attitude. Because people will let you in or keep you out based on your attitude. Attitude will give you access. Y'all don't believe me. Y'all don't believe me. Y'all were here last week. Y'all know that at the well, she gave water to the camels and to the man. And then went running telling what had happened to her. Because every time God has been good to you and blessed you, you ought to thank him and tell somebody. We saw the servant thanking him in everything, in prayer and supplication. Notice that every time God showed his power and presence through guiding this servant, he worshiped. In verse 50, now we stopped at 26 last week, right? We in 50. Between 26 and 50, that's a whole nother story. She went home. She told what happened. Her kinfolk went looking for the man at the well. Because see, when he decided that she was the one, you know what he did? He put a bracelet on her arm and a ring in her nose, marking her. She's the one. she is the one. And she goes home and they see, ring in the nose, bracelet on her wrist, that means something. That means that whoever gave this got some ends, got some punks. And them kin folks said, we got to go see who this is. We got to see what their intentions are. We need to verify the story that she's told. And so that's what we see in verse 50 as we come and look at Isaac and Rebekah. But we're going to look at more Isaac. We're going to look at more Rebekah than Isaac. See, because Rebekah represents us. Remember I told you the Old Testament is types and shadows. And I told you a couple of weeks ago that Isaac represented a type of Christ. Today we're going to see those same types and shadows. Let's see what we find. Verse 50. Now, I told you, if you don't read 26 through 50, you're trying to figure out what they tell me. The servant has explained his mission that is from the Lord, what the Lord has told him. Do you know what these kin folks say? If it's from the Lord, we got to let this thing be. But the servant not only makes these demands that, you know, this is the woman that for his master, but after he convinces them, he sleeps in their home, gets up the next morning and says, can you please get us out of here? Because I'm on a mission for the master. Because see, servants, they don't slack. You know, they do what's required. They could have said, he could have said, you know, this is pretty good. I got a pretty good. Oh, y'all want me to stay here 10 more days? Oh, I can handle this kind of hospitality 10 more days. But when you're on a mission, you got to go do the work. And so he told him, hey, no, the Lord don't want me to stay here 10. The master wants me to return as quickly as possible because my mission ain't complete until I get back. The Lord said. And you know what these folks said? If the Lord said it, why are you asking us? We ain't gonna say good or bad about the Lord, but I tell you what, we'll call Rebecca and see what she got to say. Verse 51.
Behold, Rebecca is more than me. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife.
Rebecca, you understand we got to go with these guys? Does this guy be your wife? Will you go? Y'all didn't see that? Where did you see it at? It's not. You know what? It's written. Let's go to verse 58. Because verse 58, it's not written. It's a very powerful verse. It's a very powerful verse. But let's see. Let's just see. Y'all know I'm coming there. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be with thy master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken. And it came what? To pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, what?
He worshiped the Lord, bowed himself to her.
I told you, everything in prayer, supplication, and worship. Every time he was successful during this journey, he worshiped God. Because he realized one thing, God is leading him. Amen. God is leading him. Therefore, he's worthy to be worshipped. Every time. Because that's what servants do. That's what people with a genuine relationship with Jesus Christ, God our Savior, that's what they do. They worship him in every endeavor of your life. Next verse.
And the servant brought forth jewels of silver, and jewels of gold, and raiment, and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things.
See, when you got it going on like that, you can make everybody in the family happy. You see, and you know, they used to think that, you know, the civilization that it was the boys, you know, whenever, you know, you took a son, you paid a dowry, you know. Nah, look here, this girl, she's worth more camels than she fed, because she gave not only the servant, the head servant, the chief servant of Abraham's family water, she fed his camels. And I know y'all are asking, what's so great about that? You know what's so great about that? Trusting God. She's being led. Because it's interesting, as you read this text, Sister Thompson, that to find out that if Isaac is a type of Christ, the head servant here is a type of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's job is to inform and lead. Watch me. Gave everybody, blessed everybody. Everybody's happy now. Oh, Rebecca's sure enough going to get married now. She gonna marry one of some rich kinfolk. And they did eat, drink, he and the man, what? And they rose up. Told y'all. Verse 55, 56, 57. Somebody read it for me real quick.
Allow Rebecca to remain with us a little while longer, perhaps 10 days after that.
I ain't got time to do that. I gotta get back on my mission. What else you got to say?
Please don't delay my journey.
Please.
The Eternal One has made me successful in my mission.
Uh-huh.
Grant me permission to leave and return to my master. Laban and Rebecca's mother, we will call Rebecca now and ask her what she wants.
If you arrange your child's marriage, you should at least ask them if they want to do it. They had the power to do it. But at least ask them, talk to them about it. Now I know y'all do y'all thing. You and I, you got your own woman, you know, you got your own man. You know, you did it your way. All I'm saying is that God needs to figure into the equation somewhere. But the issue is, just because God figures in the equation Do you want to do this? Because I told you, Isaac is a type of Christ. This servant here is a type of Holy Ghost. And look what happens. Linda, continue to read.
They called for Rebecca.
They called her.
And they asked her, are you willing to go with this man?
Wilt thou go with this man? Do y'all understand how important that question is? Because here it is. The Holy Spirit is responsible for pricking our hearts and asking that very question. Will you go with this man? Will you go with this man? And the response of Rebecca was what?
I will go.
Yes, I will go. You know why? Because wherever the Holy Spirit leads you, you ought to go. Because the Holy Spirit will only lead you into righteousness and holiness. And here, the head servant, being a type of spirit, has pricked the hearts of this family, has pricked the heart of this young girl, and asked the question, wilt thou go? Do you want to be saved? Do you want salvation? Because if you want salvation, you got to move from where you are to where God needs you to be if you want to be saved. Oh, this young lady could have said, I'm perfectly fine doing what I'm doing. I don't know nothing about Negev. I ain't been there. Ain't done. I'm just comfortable with where I'm at. But with the Holy Spirit leading, folk, you got to follow. I mean, they even wrote a song about that. Yeah, y'all don't believe me, do you? Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. See, when the Holy Spirit is leading, you need to follow. And you know what this young lady said? I will go. We don't have to tarry no 10 days. I've been knowing y'all all my life. See y'all when I get there. Come visit sometime. This is my shot at destiny. This is my shot at change. See how decisions affect your life? All kinds of decisions affect your life. Because she said, look here, I fed them camels. I gave you water. But let me tell you something. I ain't leaving my daddy's house. I'm comfortable right here. I'm going to get on the back of a camel, go 500 miles away with some men I ain't never met before. See, that's what doubters do. But when you got faith, when you trust God, she knew one thing. She heard this man talk, and she knew that God was intervening here. It was God's divine providence. And many of us are missing out on opportunities simply because we do not recognize the presence and the power of God. We don't trust him. Because y'all can be fair. How many of y'all have jumped up? Let y'all 15 to 17-year-old daughter jump on the back of a camel, go 500 miles. You know, they did it. And the only safeguard, her nurse went with her. Her nurse, who is the head wampa wampa in the family. Yeah, those nurses were very powerful. Because those nurses, females, were really the second mothers in the house. They were tough. But she got on a camel, said, me and the girl, wherever the girl goes, I'm going. We're going to marry his master's son. See, Rebecca is us, the church. And what God is asking, will the church come to Christ? Will you go, church? And so there's a leading, and the church responds affirmatively, Sister Carter, and says, I'll go. Verse 59. And they sent. And they what?
And they blessed Rebecca and said unto her, Thou art our sister, be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which enter.
Everybody will not celebrate your success, your prosperity. Everybody will not see your calling as you know it to be.
All right.
But just simply because someone doesn't believe that you've been called,
yes,
it does not mean that you have not been called.
All right.
Stop letting other folk affect decisions that are going to determine how you live your life for the rest of your life.
Amen.
Y'all do not hear me. There's some things and some people that you have to just dismiss. But yet there are a whole bunch of people you need to be embraced. And there's nothing better than a family who celebrates the prosperity of their kinfolk. Because a lot of family folk, they got a crab mentality. Oh, Doc, trust me. I did this lesson this week, you know. I watched some people, I watched some siblings, you know. I watched some close friends, and you could tell that it, as you're being celebrated by someone, everybody don't like it in the room. Everybody don't have something good to say about you, and especially to the Lord. But here's the thing. When your family members are leaving you, it's time to send them off with a blessing. Not a, if you don't make it, you know you can always come back home. No, you gonna make it, baby. You ain't coming. You ain't coming back. You know, just like a lot of you parents, you know, going there, man, in them, you know, baby's room. Well, it was the baby's room for 18 years. The baby go to college or the military, they ain't got no room. Oh, y'all don't hear me. Oh, y'all. They ain't got no room. You send them off with a blessing. See, because many times the reason why they come back to you, you didn't send them off with a blessing. If you'd have blessed them, bless their going, bless their coming. Oh, bless you, baby. Oh, you're going to be the head, not the tail. You're going to have success. Oh, you're going to make straight A's. You made nothing but D's in high school. You're going to make straight A's in college. Because the Lord has his hand on you. But instead, a lot of folk don't celebrate.
Amen.
We be your family. We related to you by blood. Oh, yeah. The blood of Jesus Christ makes us kin folk.
Amen.
What about celebrating?
All right.
What about giving a blessing when they're about to go off and pursue their call? I'm only talking about Rebecca. He ain't got to Isaac yet. Come on, Rebecca. And they blessed Rebecca, saying, you're going to be the mother of millions. You know why? Because they trusted God. They'd heard all that the servant had to say. They heard about how Abraham left. They knew that Abraham left. Because this is the brother of Abraham's granddaughter. That's who Abraham's son is marrying. So, she now is going to take on a role, be a part of something that God didn't speak to her. She's about to receive a blessing because God is blessing Abraham.
Amen.
And Isaac, men of faith. But God sees her faith. Notice, her faith is instrumental because she, you know what she said? I'll go.
Amen.
I trust that God has said this thing. Notice her daddy
and her granddaddy said, if God said it, God meant it.
That's it.
And that settles it for me.
That's it.
I believe. All they had to do was hear the word. Ooh, man, doesn't that make Paul seem like a genius now? As he's inspired by the Holy Spirit to write, now faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The issue, most of us don't get a chance to hear from God because we don't avail ourselves. Our attitudes won't permit us.
All right.
We'd rather skip Sunday school and Bible study than to go there.
All right.
Oh yeah, I'm messing. We'd rather skip evangelism than go there and hear a word. They'd rather work than worship. I ain't messing with nobody. Faith does not come by work. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. You've got to avail yourself to the word of God and then respond accordingly. Verse 61 says, and wasn't no see y'all next Tuesday. She is gone. Baby girl is gone in pursuit of her destiny. Her whole life is changed. But that's what salvation is all about. It's about changing what you are now to what God wants you to be. See, it's about changing families. She was in this family. Now she's going to be to start a whole new family, a whole new bunch of friends, and now she's got a whole new future. This Rebecca, all because of faith. She's doing exactly what Father Abraham did, what her husband-to-be is going did and is doing. She believed God. It's as simple as that. You want to change your future? Believe God. You want to maintain your future? You want to maintain your presence? You want to have some hope? Believe God. 62. Laha Roya. Now I know that, you know, in the translations here, we're using the King James, but actually we know this place to be Beer Loha Roy. Beer, B-E-E-R. Yeah. That's for, but you know, the Holy Ghost folk, Union Gospel Press, they didn't want to print that, but that is the place. That's the place of the well. That's why if you notice in Pastor Brown's sermon last week, he talked about, and Isaac managed the well. See, that's what he was talking about. Isaac. I know many of you thought, he thought, wait a minute, wasn't it Rebecca managed? No, they both managed wells. They became well managers. Verse 63 says, he went out in the field for what purpose? Prayer, time with God. It's been some time now. He knows the mission that this servant has been on, and he's out there in the field, and he's praying, being alone with God. In a field, alone, quiet time. Isaac demonstrates one of the great habits that every Christian needs to have, and that's daily time with God.
Amen.
You need to spend some time alone. Great things happen when you spend time alone with God. See, the reason why we don't know him like we should, is we don't spend enough time with them. Any relationship, you guys, y'all went to my 201 class, any relationship, any healthy relationship survives on the fact of time together. Many folk, even couples, even couples that don't spend time together, this is for you new bloods over there on the wall, you know, you honeymooners, you know, you got to spend time. You got to spend time, quality time, because what will happen is that, you know, families start growing and the kids will be there and the kids will be there and the kids will be there and all of a sudden the kids are gone. And you look over and you ask yourself, who is this that has been snoring in my face? Because you don't know each other. You haven't spent any time. So it is with God. Any healthy relationship requires time. You can't talk about you got a great friend and you don't spend any time with them. Okay? So, that's what she sees, a man in the field. But he sees someone coming. And trust me, he is the son of Abraham, a man who's got it going on, man who owns camel after camel after camel, and Isaac, who's the heir, is going to know all them camels, and he certainly knows the head servant. He sees him coming, but there's something with him. But let's just talk for a moment about what Rebecca sees. She has trusted God, comes some 400 miles away from her home. She sees a man in the field in meditation. Now for you future brides, there's not a better sight to see than a man that you're going to marry honors and worships God. A man who's in quiet meditation, a man who demonstrates the habits of a healthy Christian. That's what Rebecca sees. You can't even imagine how this young lady felt. Because you know how it is when you see something that's about to come to realization, something you may have been working for, and it's right there. You can see it. And you think about for an instant, all the hard times, all the hard work, all the time that you put in, it is coming to fruition. She knew that man in that field was the one. She knew it. And he knew, oh, I recognize them camels. Wait a minute, I sent Eliezer out and his boys, and I see at least two women. Two women didn't go out with him. There's two. Because remember, the nurse was with her at a minimum, and the previous sex suggests that it might have been a few other of her servants also, female. So he sees this. He stops what he's doing. Now, you know, we teach about the distractions. We says, beware of quiet time robbers. You know, when you're in your quiet time, ain't nothing supposed to distract you. But he's in his quiet time, but he's also in his waiting time. Because he's waiting on you know, all the time, they've been telling, Abraham said, Isaac, have you heard anything from any of the messengers about the progress of the head servant? And I said, no, sir, haven't heard a word. Whew, man, I sure hope he's successful, because if he's successful, I'm going to have a wife. I'm 40 years old. That's what he's saying. I'm almost 40 years old. That's why you went looking for me a wife, because you knew it was time for me to get married. And I'm just waiting to see what God has bought me. But meanwhile, this is what I saw. And Rebecca, and Isaac went out meditation in the field at the eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and he saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebecca lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she what?
Lighted off a camel.
Now, I don't know what lighted off a camel means. Y'all hold up. I'm about to ready to get in trouble. But I can imagine, I don't know about them camels, see. I don't know. I don't know if she, you know, was up on the hump, she stood a one-hand stand and muscled herself off of there. But I imagine it was akin to the same day that something, the same reaction, Sister Marshall, that my wife has told you about that she had when I asked her to marry me, you know. She was on one of those, you appreciate it. She had one of those brand new canary yellow black vinyl top Dodge Challengers, you know. And I imagine she lit up that thing, just squeal ties. He gonna marry me. That's my only frame of reference, see. That's my only frame of reference. But she got off that camel. She got off that camel, for she had said unto the servant, "What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us?" We'll stop right there. See, she had asked the question. The previous verses, she just jumped off the camel. No, the reason why she jumped off the camel, this verse here explains why she got off the camel. Who is that? I know that God is good, but I didn't know he was that good. That girl came off that camel. Oh, I'm telling you. Oh yeah. See, you know, we don't be excited anymore. Matter of fact, the other day I was sharing with one of my partners, you know, talking to a young lady, Nikita, you know, get married. Yeah, I guess we're gonna get married. What? You guess? No excitement, no enthusiasm. Oh, let me tell you, I don't know about that. But I know about Rebecca. She saw the one. She said, "What manner of man is this that walketh in the field to meet us?" And the servant said, "What? It is my master." Therefore, she hopped off the camel. Now, y'all might have said, "That's so unladylike." But immediately, once she finds out who that is, she covers herself, because modesty. You don't presume anything. You just don't assume anything. Right. You don't bust all up in people's face, right, you know, because you the one.
All right. Okay.
Y'all don't get me. Y'all don't get me. Let me tell you something. I learned a long time ago, young man. Don't ever put in front of you what you don't want in you. Y'all just let that melt. See, the issue is, you can't let in and everything in your space. And the stuff that you let in your space, you should be willing to take into your confidence. You should be able to take into you. I'll give you a better example, because y'all bougie. Don't ever put fat back, ham hocks, tiddlins, steak in front of you if you don't want it in you. And presentation is everything. I don't care how good all of that is to you, if it's not presented right, because let me tell you something. When she jumped off that covering, not only was it a custom of the day, for woman in public to veil herself in such a manner. It was also smart. I can't let this boy see all this. I hardly can contain myself. Wait a minute, y'all didn't hear me. Flashback to last week at the well. It says that she was fine. She was shown up fine. She was double down there fine. She was fine. She was like, does your daddy have any more of these? Fine. And if the servant hadn't been on a mission, if the servant hadn't been trustworthy, if the servant hadn't been one who trusted God and believed that he was on a mission to find a wife for his master, his head might have been turned.
Amen.
Because notice, it didn't say nothing about she was veiled. She may have been, but I don't know. But she had the wherewithal. This young lady, let me tell you one thing. I don't care, I don't know what they say, how old she was, younger, but she had been schooled in modesty.
Yeah.
And any time, a good lesson for even us modern day folk, that you are considering certain relationships, there ought to be a certain amount of modesty observed when the opposite sex is involved. You don't bust up your way in any kind of way, because, hey, look here. They may Google for a minute, but they gone after that. The issue is, you know, if you're serious about looking for somebody, you don't want all this stuff in front of you that you don't want in you.
Amen.
You just remember that. Young ladies, men, modesty. Throughout all the excitement, we understand, you're going to get excited. Because she saw him, he was fine. He saw her, he knows she was going to be fine. But I need to cover some of this up. Because there's some processes that need to occur before we're talking about we are one.
Amen.
You don't be single and act married. Marriage is for married folk. You don't be a child and acting grown. See, because if you're a child acting grown, people don't treat you like you're grown. You see? That's why you can't let everybody run up in your face and say, oh, that's a child. Oh, it's a child who's acting like a grown folk. And I just had a momentary cognitive dysfunction, and I didn't realize that was a child. So I knocked them out like they were a man, because they run up on me. Had no modesty. Modesty. She did it, didn't she do it? It's a good way. Is it relevant today?
Yes.
Very. Because we're too casual with each other. I'm telling you, folks, you don't want in front of you what you don't want. If you know your weakness is women, why you always got them up in your face?
Amen.
If you don't know your weaknesses, man, why do you have men all up in your face?
Amen.
But I digress. Let's get on out of here. And Rebecca, and the servant told what? And? Can be confusing, but it's not. It's a summation of what happened. There was a betrothal. She went into that mother's tent, was Abraham's tent also. But it's the one that Isaac had lived in, his home. In other words, he took her into his home, and we know that she became his wife. And we're going to see next week that husband and wives do certain things. And we're going to look at the sons that were produced out of that marriage next week. But for today, Decisions are very important because they will determine your destiny. Your attitude will put you in places that you never thought you could get in. This girl is in the tent of Abraham. Never even thought it. This girl, because of a decision that she made, is going to become the mother of many nations. Amen. This girl, because she was able to accept God's choice and then make decisions that supported God's choice, it was going to change her life forever. But this brother named Isaac, who married Rebekah, he trusted his father so much, he never even was concerned about that bride, that bride would not be won. Our Heavenly Father sent his only son to die for his bride. And then one day will receive, just as Isaac received Rebekah back to him, Jesus will receive his bride, the church, us, those who said, I'll go. Amen. He's going to receive them back to himself. So surely Isaac is a type of Christ in Genesis 22 and through 26. Rebekah is a type of church, represents all of us, being led by a head servant called the Holy Spirit, who would direct her path in every way. That's Isaac and Rebekah in a nutshell. See you guys next week.